and 90.1 FM KJZA Radio, Drake Prescott Williams, Cottonwood, Flagstaff, Arizona. Your National Public Radio and Community Programs Connection, operating in partnership with NPR member station KJZZ in Phoenix. Coming up next, it's Dr. John Nay with his program, Dinosaurs, Science, and the Bible. And then at 9:30 this morning, Dave McNabb steps in with the Christian Corner, right here on KJZA. Support for KJZA is provided by New Frontiers Natural Marketplace, committed to providing a wide selection of fresh, flavorful, high-quality natural and specialty foods. New Frontiers offers grocery items that are free of artificial sweeteners, colors, flavors, and preservatives. Meats that are free of growth hormones, antibiotics, nitrates, and other chemicals. And household and body care products that are developed without animal testing. At New Frontiers, they actively seek and support organic food sources wherever possible. New Frontiers Natural Marketplace in Prescott, Sedona, and Flagstaff, whose slogan is, "We're all about your quality of life." And be sure to listen at 12:30 p.m. today for Ken Lane and his program, The Mountain Gardener, right here on KJZA.
The Lord is good, His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good.
Greetings and welcome to the 64th edition of Dinosaur Science in the Bible with your host, Dr. John Nay, retired religion professor from Summit Christian College in Nebraska. Dr. John, we are continuing with another program on reviewing the first year and a half.
Yes, we are, Dave. And last week and the preceding week, we began an overview of the year and a half of our program, Dinosaur Science in the Bible, a bit of an overview. And I spent some time both last week and the preceding week on the first two programs and the importance of those first two programs, and those programs, a topic being faith and proof. And you can access these programs, by the way, through the internet site, creationscience.net, and listen to them online or download them. And I'm going to beat this to death again here very briefly, but the proposal being that all human beings walk by faith because human beings are not all-knowing. Now, I won't take time on it that I did last week nor the preceding week, but it's foundational to this program. Also, proof. Proof is directly relative to where one places their faith. You know, prove it to me. Well, the question should be, well, what will you accept as proof? Or the question that would follow that, what would you accept as proof? And that relates directly to where one has placed their faith. And we continually, through our programs, come back to the importance of that and understanding that at a conscious level. And anyway, God has given us a reasonable faith. He has given us His inspired word as a place to go to determine what is or isn't proof, what is or isn't evidence, what is or isn't true. And we walk by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "Walk by faith, not by sight." And again, contention being here that all human beings walk by faith. The question is, where do they place their faith? Now, it would sound to me a little inconsistent for a human being that realizes that they don't know everything about everything to place their faith in another human being that doesn't know everything about everything. To me, more of a logical approach would be if we're a human being that doesn't know everything about everything, and there were an omniscient source of information available, an all-knowing source, that would be the place to place our faith. Now, you might ask the question, well, how do you know that that person is, that source is in fact an all-knowing source if you're not all-knowing? And we spent quite a bit of time on that one. And the bottom line is, we can know that God and His source, the inspired Word of God, that is His Word, is from an all-knowing source, that it is God-breathed, because it is It is beyond a reasonable doubt. It's so absolute, so much so. The psalmist says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
And John, you mentioned a number of times on the show that the Christian faith is not a blind faith. It is a reasoned and a reasonable faith. Mm-hmm. And you know, more than that, when you look into the science of the history of science, you see that most every branch of science was started by a devout Bible-believing Christian.
Absolutely. And as you know, Dave, many of those Bible-believing Christians became the founding fathers of their very scientific disciplines because of that. You know, reading something in Scripture that would talk about the paths of the sea in Psalm 8. Reading something in Scripture talking about the water teeming with swarms of minute animals and the microscope, and on and on and on we go. You can believe the Bible.
It's been shown over and over through archaeology so many times that confirm what the Bible says. And really, we don't have any science that, real science anyway, that would falsify anything that the Bible says.
No, and there are a lot that would like to do that, would like to discredit the inspiration of God's Word. And interesting, many of those that have taken the Bible to task to do just that have come away finding out that the Bible is the anvil that wears out the hammers of assault. And I think of a man now that's involved in creation science that married a woman that was a Bible-believing, professing Christian, and he found it by his own testimony now, somewhat embarrassing in the circles in which they found themselves, that she was a Bible-believer, and set out in a loving way to share with her that the Bible there might be some good things in it, but it most certainly isn't the inspired Word of God. And in so doing, of course, he came away a believer, a professing Christian, and is actively involved right now as an apologist, a defender of the inspiration of the Bible in the field of creation science, or using the field of creation science. Well, so these absolutely foundational to all of our programs. Humans walk by faith because they don't know everything about everything. Proof relates to where one has placed their faith. Now, we had gone through the Genesis account as far as the creation days and what transpired on those days. We also took to task the various views relative to the length of those creation days. And spent a lot of time emphasizing why that is important, the view of the length of those creation days. And we're not going to go back there now. But now those were programs 6, 7, 8, and to some extent program 9 that we did that. We went through, again, what took place in the days of the creation week, and we spent quite a bit of time on the flood of Genesis as to whether that flood was a local or a global flood, and the empirical support that God has given us all around us that vividly attests to the factuality that the flood of Genesis was, in fact, a global flood. And in our review last week, we moved from that point to the dating methods, just very, very briefly, the importance of accepting the global flood, or the flood of Genesis as a global flood, which it's so clearly enunciated in chapters 6 through 9, and how we see the world around us and how the dating methods work relative to it. Very, very, very important. Now, that left us off with a very brief overview of the first 27 programs. And we're moving on. Then we moved and did a complete program on a documentary that some of you listening this morning may have seen. And if you have not, I strongly encourage you to get a copy. I believe it's available in the stores now. I know you can rent it through some of the video rental places. And that is the video, or the documentary, Expelled: No Intelligence Allowed, by Ben Stein. And did you get to see that, Dave? I'll put you on the spot again.
Yes, I did. And I interviewed on my Christian show the producer of that documentary. And it was just a great show, and wonderful talking to him. Learned a lot about some things that behind the show. But yeah, the show shows so well that there is in academia a systematic way that they've gone about expelling those who believe in the Bible, believe it to be true, and those creationists out there who who dare to believe in creation.
Yeah, it was just, I found it just, I sat in shock, I guess, as Ben Stein interviewed various people on both sides of the issue, whether God exists or God doesn't exist. And using the term ID, intelligent design, you know, there comes a point where things are so complex. There's something acknowledged in all the scientific disciplines, causality, cause and effect. Causality says the cause must be at least equal to or greater than the effect. And all around us we have the effect of something. You know, the fact that we're here, that's an effect that calls for a cause equal to or greater.
And remember at the end of the movie where Ben Stein corners Richard Dawkins, the greatest proponent of evolution ever. I think he teaches at Cambridge, didn't he?
I believe so.
And he says, well, then where does life come from? And so Dawkins said, well, aliens must have brought life here to Earth, because, you know, we know that it couldn't have started. You know, there's this scientific law, the biogenesis, that says life only comes from life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're going to ignore that. So it must come from aliens.
Oh, my.
And you know, Dawkins actually said in his book, one of his books, that creationists must either be ignorant or insane to believe in creation.
Wow. Yeah, and as far as life coming from other planets, which really just postpones the question, because you still come back to the foundation, to the bottom line question is, how did life begin? And I propose, as Dr. George Wald did, in a winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in Science in 1947, said, when it comes to the origin of life, there are only two options. One, a spontaneous generation, and the other, supernatural creation. And he went on, and I'm paraphrasing now, but he went on to say that spontaneous generation was disproven. He said that leaves us with only one other conclusion, that of supernatural creation. And he goes on and says, we choose to believe the impossible, that life arose spontaneously by chance. And impossible, why? Impossible because of irreducible complexity. Impossible because of causality, cause and effect. What we see again, everything we see is an effect of something. Something caused it. And whatever caused it needs to be at least equal or greater to have the effect of something of what we see. Michael Behe, a biochemist, wrote a book, Darwin's Black Box. And in this book, he used the term irreducible complexity. He used a mousetrap to illustrate this to we common folks. And that if you take a mousetrap and you take any component away from the mousetrap, it doesn't work. It's irreducibly complex. And the same thing is true of a cell. You take anything away from a cell, and it doesn't work. It's irreducibly complex. And for many years, it was believed, well, the cell, that's real simplistic. There's nothing complex there. That's no big deal. But with the invention of the microscope, and especially with the electron microscope, we find the deeper we look into things, the more complexity we find, complexity of such a level that it calls for a cause, again, equal to or greater than that complexity. And the bottom line is, evolution is not an adequate cause for the complexity that is found in irreducible complexity. That's what Michael Behe said basically in his book. Now, he didn't say, stay tuned. No, well, he did say, stay tuned, excuse me. He didn't say, well, then the God of the Bible must be real. You know, the creation, there must be a supreme being that created all this of a complexity beyond our imagination to bring about the complexity that we see, that we can understand. You know, he didn't say that. He basically said, stay tuned. You know, evolution is not an adequate enough mechanism to account for the complexity we see, but if you stay tuned, we're going to figure this out in time. My paraphrase. You know, and which is... wow, if you have another option.
So does Behe still place his faith in science other than God then?
I don't know. It's been some time back since I had done any research relative to Michael Behe, the biochemist. I don't know where he is now. But it would have to be challenging him in the innermost recesses of his being, especially since he's created the image of God. You know, that, and the bottom line, I think, of a lot of this is you know, if man can somehow reason God out of existence, you know, which I guess he can to some extent in his own mind, okay, reason God, then, of course, you know, where are you for accountability? You're with yourself and others like you, and you're going to eventually come down to the others like you. If there are more other of others that are like you, and others disagree and you're in the majority, then you're right. You're your own God. You set up your own morals. You set up your own ethics. You set up your own form of government. You set up your own whatever, because you're only accountable to yourself and others like you. Which is a terrifying thought.
That's right.
You know, man and the carnal nature and justifying, you know, the things that have been justified. You know, Hitler justified in his own mind and in the mind of many that had embraced his ideology, you know, that the Holocaust was justified, justifiable. The British, not all, of course, but many justified in their own mind the what was necessary for them to cope with killing thousands and thousands of Aborigines in Australia.
Yes. And John, just to clarify for listeners, justified on the base of social Darwinism. That is, that everything is on its way to getting better and better. The white Caucasian Aryan race is the highest evolved, most evolved form of man, and the darker races are the lower forms, and therefore to get rid of those forms of the race would be doing mankind a favor.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Darwin's, most listening this morning are probably familiar at least with the title, The Origin of the Species by Charles Darwin, 1859. His next major writing was The Descent of Man, and how man descended from a common ancestor, and basically extremely racist, the inferiority of races that were not, if you will, of Aryan stock. And of course that had a tremendous, profound influence on Hitler and others like him, looking for some way to say, if there is no God, then, you know, who determines what is or isn't right? Those that are in the majority, those that are in power, you know, they become their own gods.
Right. And even the second half of the title of Darwin's book, which is rarely ever mentioned, talks about the struggle of the races.
Favored races, most favored races, yeah. And it has everything to do with racism. You know, those that serve other, it's a might makes right, survival of the fittest.
Now, modern men doesn't want to talk about that, you know. But the scientists, they will never mention that part of the title because they're ashamed of that part.
Yes. And if you take and you put that part of that part of the title with The Descent of Man written by Charles Darwin, wow, just incredible. So this documentary, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed by Ben Stein, very, very powerful again. And in this documentary, for those of you that have not seen this, Ben Stein interviews people on both sides of the issue, those that believe in an intelligent designer. Okay, now, not talking just intelligent design, not necessarily going with the God of the Bible, but some intelligent designer for what we see. And he interviews those that do not believe in intelligent design, that we're just here by happenstance. We're just a result of a cosmic explosion some 18 to 20 billion years ago, ultimately resulting in us here today. And that the mechanism for that, it was primarily mutations. You know, that whether it be increased gamma radiation from the sun or the strong influx of ultraviolet light and X-rays, and we have these mutations in the gene pool and time and natural selection weeding out the inferior, here we are today. And I think you could definitely pick up, I think, where Ben Stein might have been personally. But I think it was done in as objective a way as possible, it would appear to me. You know, these people that he interviewed. And if you listen to this and really listen to what is said, I'm back again to our reasonable faith. You know, that to see the design about us, that tremendous complexity. I use the illustration for years of walking down a beach, and here are some stones arranged in the sand in a heart shape, and within the stones are other stones. Bill loves Judy, and asking the question, how would you suppose those got there? You know, if I give you the response, well, I think this took place over millions and millions and billions of years. At one time, this was underwater, and perhaps when these waters receded, they left this stone, and this stone. And then there was a volcanic eruption so many miles away, and it, that left this stone, this stone, this stone. And I go on and give you this this story for what you see as far as climatic conditions and seismic activity, and we have this arrangement. I think most people look at you and say, well, you're absolutely nuts. No way. Somebody put these stones here, Bill Loves Judy. You know, it calls for a cause at least equal to the complexity of the design or greater. Cause and effect. And then how complex are the a few stones in the sand, Bill Loves Judy, relative to a human cell, relative to a single-celled protozoan or metazoa? I mean, how you compare those two. And then you go to the complexity complexities involved in human childbirth. You know, and to say that this just happened through time and chance. Now, well, real quick here. Some would argue against me on this and say, now, wait a minute, stones in the sand, stuff like that, that's inorganic. And we're talking about organic substance, you're talking about something completely different. Well, if you believe in the Big Bang, the bottom line is you believe that organics came from inorganic substance. So the analogy I propose is valid. I believe it's credible.
Yes, and evolutionists, when you take it back far enough, never have a first cause, you know, which then goes against Newton's law of motion there. Every action has a cause. What was that first cause?
Well, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, not every action has a greater and opposite reaction. Causality, Newton's laws of motion, absolutely. And if you take this back to the beginning, listening this morning, if you're a professing Christian, if we go back to the beginning from a biblical perspective, we're talking about the uncaused first cause, God. But the Bible presents God as without beginning and without end. And we touched that on a little bit on one of our programs, that that is consistent with physics as they're understood today, that there is another dimension, if you want to call it the fourth dimension, a metaphysical, meta beyond the physical dimension, space-time mass continuum, without beginning, without ending. And we believe in a spirit being without beginning and without ending, which is perfectly consistent with what we understand relative to putting velocity to matter, Einstein's special theory of relativity, culminating in a metaphysical realm beyond this. Now, if you talk the Big Bang, and you're talking about this, quote, infinitely dense concentration of matter, and matter is not infinite by definition, occupies space and has weight, you're talking about this concentration of matter, the obvious question is, where did it come from? Now, when you talk about matter and where it came from, And you're going to deal with physics today, okay? The first law of thermodynamics says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. The second law says that in a closed system, when energy is put to work, there's a loss that's irretrievable, entropy. The bottom line is it runs downhill. You know, now, to talk about matter always existing is contrary to good science. Yeah. You know, it begs the question. Now, for we as ourselves as creationists, to talk about a spirit being God that's always existent is consistent with what is understood relative to physics in a metaphysical realm.
So, absolutely. There's so many real laws of known science that the theory of evolution goes against. You'd think the scientists would abandon this theory a long time ago.
A quote that I've heard, that these are physics that we do not understand, physics that have not yet been discovered. These were physics prior to physics as we understand them today. Those little things that I've just said in various writings, that is what's put forth. So at the very least, for the evolutionist, the atheistic evolutionist, okay, his acceptance of the Big Bang as credible is, again, based upon faith. We that believe in a creator God that brought in the universe into being, ex nihilo, okay, from out of nothing, that is based upon faith also. They're both philosophies relative to the origin of the universe. Although, of course, I side on the side of the creation side because it just makes far more sense in light of the world around us.
All right, and getting back to the movie, No Intelligence, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, it does show a number of cases where there's been a real systematic persecution of those in academia who don't follow the lockstep theory of evolution and bow to that God, those who dare to go against that are persecuted and oftentimes lose their jobs.
Yes. I've in the years prior to coming here to Prescott, I did a lot of traveling doing creation science seminars, and many, many times I've had teachers, people in various vocations, have come up to me and shared stories of what has happened to them because they shared or they didn't fully embrace the politically correct view relative to evolution. And there's just no question in my mind, but whether it's not just this issue, by the way, creation versus evolution, but if the views a person holds are not the condoned views, and I would use the term again, politically correct views, at the very least, some of these are somewhat ostracized from the social activities of whatever and their various vocations, and in some cases, as you mentioned, actually lose or pushed out of their areas. Can you imagine a climatologist now that does not embrace the global warming? It could be anathema to his career. Okay, that is now the politically correct view, and climate change, I guess, is the new one now. Global warming, climate change, and some would say a planet in crisis. But at any rate, if you have a view that is not in line, in lockstep, as you expressed, you could have some real challenges in your particular discipline, in your field.
Absolutely.
Well, I would like to take a moment and thank Prescott Valley Christian Church for their financial support of this program. Just thank you so much. Over a year and a half now, programs, our prayer being that lives have been touched, that the faith in God's Word has been strengthened, and some have been challenged, perhaps, to look into this area a little bit deeper. So thank you, Prescott Valley Christian Church. You can contact me through creationscience.net. I welcome your input. Whether you agree or disagree, please feel free to contact myself and also areas you would like addressed on this program that you would like me to go either deeper, and where I can, I will, and where I can't, I can redirect, and or topics of discussion relative to this that I have not touched on.
Okay. And I do have trips planned to the Grand Canyon with Creation Speaker Russ Miller the last Saturdays of Saturday. Last Saturdays of April, May, and June. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, you can contact me at 771-1218. That's David McNabb at 771-1218. I'd be glad to tell you about that. If you'd like to be a sponsor of this show, you can contact me at that number, or you can contact Dr. John Ney through his website and sponsor through that. We'd love to have you as a supporting partner here on KJAZZ and this great show, Dinosaur Science in the Bible. That Dr. John is a retired religion professor, does such a good job of teaching us the Bible here on Dinosaur Science in the Bible. Dr. John, we have about a little less than 2 minutes left. What would you like to say?
Well, I guess I'm going to continue to push for your input, those of you listening this morning. You know, I really, again, encourage you to come to the website or call the station, talk with Dave, areas that you'd like addressed, because this program really is about you. Whether you agree with the views that I express on this program or not, I do not mind disagreement. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one man another. And the Lord said in Isaiah to the people, come, let us reason together. And I would be pleased. I can certainly learn from your input, whether I agree or disagree. You can help me in crystallizing my views and redirecting me in areas that perhaps I am in error. And I most certainly am susceptible to that and learned that over many years at the college. So I want to thank you for listening and staying with us on our program. We do solicit financial support. It would be greatly appreciated. You can do that through my site, creationscience.net, or through the station here, Dave McNabb.
Okay, and that's creationscience.net. Be sure to check out the website and send in your questions and comments to Dr. John Ney. So good to have you listening to this edition of Dinosaur Science in the Bible. Come on back next week and every week, and tell your friends to listen in on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock for Dinosaur Science and the Bible. See you next week.
The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever.
Good morning, 9:30 now at publicly supported KJAZ 89.5 and 90.1 KJZA. David McNabb is next with the popular Sunday morning program, The Christian Corner, right here on KJZA. Listen for Sherry Cornett and the popular Sunday morning program, Gourmet the Healthy Way, every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on publicly supported KJAZ. Followed at 10:30 by Sue Samarco and Pets Galore, Sue's Corner Pet Store. It's all here on publicly supported KJAZ.